Okay. All right. Well, George Clay, it's very nice to talk with you today. Afternoon there in Greece. We can't tell whether it's sunny or cloudy there, but morning here and a little bit on the rainy side. We've just polished off our breakfast, so sorry we couldn't share that with you.
I understand. No worries.
And I just saw your email. Thank you for that. I sent it out to probably most of the folks that are listening will have it on their phones or their computers, but they won't have seen that. But good update from you on that. Just maybe give us some of the verbal things for people who've not read the email yet.
Yes.
Your church continues to serve the Lord and serve many people there. Just tell us about some of those, please.
Yeah. So the pandemic is a challenge for all of us. I could say that for my church, that stopped us, like, have the whole, let's say, congregation. Right now, we are able to host only the half of the people of the church. Because of the size, we cannot have them all together. So that is a big challenge right now for us, like how we can have the connection, maintain the relationship, cultivate, and even now in the challenge, create like a deeper, like go deeper in our relationship. So this is what we pray with the rest of the elders. So we function right now in the Greek service. Yes.
Well, the question to make sure we understand, I think what I understand is that the government restrictions on how many people can meet, is that what's limiting you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The restrictions, they're depending on the size of the building.
Yeah.
And of course, like if the people are vaccinated or not, there are some complications, there are some prerequisites for the entrance in the building. So yes, we have a lot of restrictions that make people think they be more cautious about coming to the church. So this is something that we pray right now. And of course, like if I can observe something, like right now, we see a big polarization in our church. People that support vaccination, people that they're the opposite. And, of course, like this is the perfect time to preach the gospel and remind to all that we are one family and still we have one Lord.
Yeah. We're having that conversation here too. Imagine that. Yes.
So this is the first challenge. So I can say another update is that we started like a second service in Farsi, and because we host like these families in Vula House, 11 families, and we have this Bible study now for them, and it's very encouraging for us. All these years, we have seen people being baptized and asking for discipleship, and even those that they are not appreciate or like let's say believe in the gospel and they become Christians. Even though these people they appreciate the community and the fellowship and the love of the church, and sometimes we even in our members meeting and the elders meeting, we say that what we observe right now in Greece is like a reverse of the things that we have learned in the past. So in the past, we were thinking about people belonging first and believing second. Okay. Sorry. It was believing first and belonging secondly. So in the past, we were thinking about people believing and then be in the church. But right now, what we see is the opposite. It's like people that they appreciate the church and what the church does. So they belong to the church. Belonging is first now in a paradoxical way. And then comes the faith, comes the believing in Christ. So this is something that we see more and more, and we are trusting the Lord, and we want to learn also from Him.
Uh-huh. so the fellowship is what's drawing people, I guess, the relationships.
So see, like, the Father Church is a new church. Even though we are like 10 years of, have 10 years of life, but because for us it's urgent, the need of for evangelism, because the church is not, how do you say, like, full of people. We have 100 people. Okay. So we need to go out. We need to expand. We need to have extrovert character. So we develop a lot of projects that they have an extrovert character, and they include even non-Christians as we serve other people. So because of that, sometimes people come to the church, even though they are not Christians, even though they are not agreeing with everything that we believe. And as they are there, they start to change their minds, a mindset about Christ, about what the gospel can do in your life. So, yeah, we have seen this reverse order.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Not surprising, I suppose, with COVID and people being in isolation. This is an opportunity to break some of that isolation.
Yes, especially with people that they cannot be in our church, we're trying to provide discipleship, so we produce even some discipleship documents for these people, so that we visit their houses, we pray for them, we leave, a paper with discipleship, so that even in this period, nobody feels that he didn't grow in faith. We try to create opportunities for growing in faith. And we believe that this can happen because this period creates a lot of questions for people, that they see other people suffering, they see dead ends, you know, and they want to understand what is the Lord's will.
Well, I see from the newsletter that you having a Farsi service as well?
Yes. Yes. So that's the second service that we have for the refugee families. The good news with this is that we never forced these Bible studies to, Muslim people, but it's their request. So we're trying to respond. And even by day number one, when all the families come to the program, there is a contract that they sign, which is, in this contract is very clear that they are not obligated to be in the church or be Christian so that they can receive the church's service. So it's very clear from the day number one. But even having this, it's a very clear agreement. They have the request for discipleship. This is very encouraging for us. If you want to pray for us, if you want to pray something for us, pray that, because this Sunday we start also the Gospel of John with the refugees. They wanted to start the Gospel of John because they said that they have not heard many things about the Gospel of John. They have heard us speaking about the Matthew, Luke. So we will start something new. We will try also to produce some notes for them, so that we will give them beforehand, so that when we are in these meetings, they will have questions, or we will try to answer them. So have us in your prayers.
Yeah. Do you have, are there members in your church already who speak Farsi? Or I know Manachair and others, you know, there's another resource there. You drawing from them?
So, you know, like these families are very close to the Father Church, very close. And there is a distance between the Manachair's ministry. Of course, we want Manachair to be part of this. Sometimes it's difficult. So for this reason, we're trying to encourage our members, the local church members, to serve the refugee families, and with this way cultivate relationships. Because you know, something else that we have observed is that sometimes it's very easy to help from distance, like to develop this mindset that someone else can do that and there is no need for me to be there. So we're trying to encourage our own people to be in Vula House and be in the meetings. So, and right now we're cooperating with a Farsi translator, like that knows even Greek. So, he translates for us. And of course, like another part, aspect is that the refugees speak English as well. Most of them.
Okay. Interesting. Well, let's move on. Blueprint. Blueprint project. Explain that a little bit. Some people will not be familiar with that.
Yes. So, at the beginning, when we arrived in this area, we, said like that it was very clear that we wanted to serve like two groups here, the family ministry, family area, and business. Of course, like God destroyed our plans, bringing the biggest refugee camp as a, you know, like that, but that's another discussion. So he created his own church. But this area, this focus remained for us. So what we do is like we create a team of unemployed people. We visit local business owners. And we're trying to connect them with the local owners. So the unemployed people gain experience. The local business owners have their problems being solved. And also, us as a church, we will offer a good testimony of the gospel. So we do a lot of seminars. We do recently we had a meeting in our church, prayer meeting, for the local business owners as a church that is praying for the local businesses. So we had that, and we want actually to cultivate that, as I said, with a lot of seminars. So it's an open invitation even for you, like if you have business people, that they could visit our church and do a presentation to the owners that we have. That will be a very good way to serve.
Yeah. And Timothy Project?
Timothy Project came to existence because we love church planting. So if you ask me, like, what is Glyphada Church? Glyphada Church has three main areas. It's about families, business, and church planting. All the rest, as I said, like, is what God brought. But because we love church planting, we developed an internship program, a pastoral internship program. So right now we have 6 interns that we train, and already one of them, he wants also to start a new church in the like next 2 years. Also, through the Timothy Project, we have started a church plant project in the university area of Athens. That is Pangrati Project. Emmanuel, it was an intern from the Timothy Project. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who haven't seen the newsletter, I'm kind of tracking along with what you just sent, and I forward it to most of the people who are listening, but they may not be able to read that at the same time. But in the newsletter, the picture of 6 or 8 people who are part of this Timothy Project and these pastoral interns. And we just love the way your vision, you put feet to your vision, I guess, or hands and feet to your vision in terms of training more people, planting churches, and doing this outreach in various ways. So it's encouraging to us to see what you're doing and to learn.
I can add something on this term so that you can know about Greece. Greece is a country where the 0.3 of the people are born again people. The 0.3. So Greece is a country of 10 million. So the 30,000 is like a Presbyterian, Pentecostal, charismatic, extremely charismatic. All of these are the 0.3.
Yeah.
So do you understand that there is a lot of work here, and the only way to go forward with this is plant churches. So we usually say with Pastor Yotis, like that we want to go from 0.3 to 1% percentage in the next years. And the only way to do that is cultivate this church planting atmosphere, environment in Athens.
Uh-huh.
One more statistic is that Athens has the half of Greece. So Greece is 10 million, Athens is 5. So if you want to influence Greece, of course you start from Athens.
Right. Yeah. Okay, going down to your list then, the at-home project, and this is targeted somewhat at Wula House, I guess, yes. But more than that as well.
So as I said, like at-home is like a housing program for 11 refugee families, and there is like many areas that are in that home. There is like the social services that we provide. There are the languages that we have, like David Purvis is one of our teachers for English. Also, there is the cultural appreciation programs. We also have, like, we have cultural nights. So through these nights, the Middle Eastern people, they serve their culture by cooking foods, by playing music. Before Corona, we invited many people. Our churches were filled with people that they wanted to have a taste of their culture, their refugee culture. And also through the cultural aspect, we also share our own culture so that we'll be, how do you say, they will know where they are, that they're in Greece, they're in Europe. They need to understand our culture as well. And the last area in the at home is the business integration. We have a lot of programs for refugees that they support. They encourage the business integration. For men, we have a compost program. So through this program, they take organic waste from the neighborhoods. They cultivate vegetables and they, in a way, earn food for their families. And sometimes they sell to other people so that they can have income. And for the ladies, we have a program that is, they create bags, they create Christmas ornaments that they created now for Christmas. Also, they created something with jewelry, so they can also earn some income for their families.
Uh-huh. Very nice. I'm looking at a picture of a bag.
Yes.
That this lady created. So.
Yeah. So this lady is a very good example. She's not a Christian. She's a Muslim. But she comes every Sunday to our church. She's at most, she's most faithful than the best Presbyterian. She comes every Sunday.
Very nice.
George, how do they sell these products that they make?
So we work through our network. That means personal relationship. We also have some families in the area here, like, and we say what we do, that we want to support these families, and we sell bags through this way. It's not official, but we were planning to have it more official, but right now it works unofficially and through our relationships. And of course, like if you would like to have bags in your church, that could be a big help for the families here. Because right now, nobody receives from the government allowance. Okay. So they have a problem.
I'm not sure I understand. The refugees are not getting allowance from the government?
No. So because the government has adopted another, let's say, policy that they want, in a way, not to make it more, to make it more difficult so that the people that they cannot be here, be somewhere else. So they want to push hard, to this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, and speaking of families, tell us about your own family, Fedra, and your children. How are they?
So today and yesterday in Greece we had snow. I know that you cannot believe that, but that we had a lot of snow, so the children didn't go for school, and we had the opportunity to play with snowballs. So we are doing great. We with Fedra, my wife, and now three kids. We have the oldest daughter, 8, Olivia, 8 years old, Nicholas, my son, 6 years old, and Zoe, which is the third, smaller, 3 years old. So far we are doing great. We are very thankful to the Lord and for your prayers.
Yeah. The picture that went out to our folks here was an older picture. In fact, I think it was just Nicholas. I don't know why. You sent a very nice picture at Christmas time of your family, and I didn't get that into the circuit here to our folks to see all of them. So I went back and looked for it yesterday, and I couldn't find it. But
I can forward again.
Okay. Yeah, please do that, and I'll send it to everyone. But So in snow, how deep was the snow?
Excuse me?
How deep was the snow with?
We had 30 centimeters of snow here. So I don't know how many inches is that.
Like, well, 30 centimeters is a lot.
Yeah, but for us it was it was the heaviest snow, like the most snow that we had the last, let's say, 5 years.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I'm always reminded your comment to several of us that when in a number of years ago you wanted to go down to the Middle East and maybe be a sort of a missionary in a way, and in God's way of working, he blew up that plan and brought those people to you. And
yes.
So the mission field came to your front door.
It's like what we always say now. We were praying for this, so we better be careful of what we are praying. So we were very hard on praying about that, like, and sometimes, like in the atmosphere of being so spiritual, was a bold dream, you know, a bold request. But God fulfilled that, and He brought the people. And when they arrived, at the beginning, we tried to help, but afterwards, it was not easy for us. And through the refugee crisis, I always say that God revealed our own crisis. The fact that we were selfish. We have the tendency to demonize people and judge them by the color of their skin. So all this revealed, God showed us. And we, of course, we needed to repent. So through refugee crisis, God blessed us. Uh-huh. This is what we say today.
Yeah. Let me pause. There may be questions from different people. I don't want to do all the talking.
George, you are with MTW, aren't you?
No.
I'm sitting behind Tom. You're with MTW? What? Mission to the World?
Yes. Okay. So the question is, if we are working with MTW?
That's correct.
Yes, of course. We have here like Davis and Eric Purvis. And of course, like we have Philip and Kay Luther. Yes, and we are very thankful for this partnership.
He's not an MTW missionary. He's working with MTW.
Oh, okay.
And right. Of course, like if you also say about if I'm connected with MTW about my pastoral support, also that is correct. There is an account for the pastoral support. I don't know if you said we were asking about this.
Okay. I didn't realize that part. So that's good. Yeah. What about the neighborhood where that was so badly damaged by fires a couple years ago? I know not too far back, a newsletter maybe in the fall, you mentioned you were still doing some work there.
Yes. So we're visiting the families. This previous month was not easy for us to visit, but we maintain relationships with some of the families. We have prayer meetings, and when they, you know, they have a lot of problems. Right now, the government doesn't allow them to rebuild the burnt houses. So still, after like 4 years now, they're in the same spot without a house, and they need help. So what we do is we're trying to respond to the needs. For example, recently we have a request for from a citizen in this area that he had a destroyed house. So he wanted to ask our help if we can go clean the burnt area so that he can start with small steps to rebuild. So we went there and we helped him clean the house. So we're trying to maintain the relationships. There are very good relationships. We're praying with elders about people that they will live in the area, because it's very important for us. Like, if we are in this phase as we are right now, of course we can maintain the relationship. We can provide pastoral care, but it will be from distance. We need people there. And this is what we're praying right now.
George, as you plant these churches and are training these pastors, I'm just interested, do you use any of the third millennium materials in training pastors?
Because of Argyris Petru, we have, you know, Argyris Petru has translated a lot of this material. So, yes, we use some of this, but we would love to explore the idea of to see that, like, what exactly it can, you know, can we offer to the interns. Like, I would love to see if there are information about the structure and see how this can be useful for a church planter. I know that they have a very good theology. I'm trying to understand, like, the idea of, from the church planter side, like the practitioner, how they can apply this theology and how this can be useful for evangelism. So I would like to explore this idea more.
Sure Tom will be happy to pass information on to you about that.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
You know, and I would guess Argyris is providing material from Greek Bible College as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and also something for you to know, that if we use a lot of material from the, also from the incubator that we have right now in Athens. We have an incubator for church planting, which right now we're trying to make the next step to connect it with Balkans. So this is, you know, on the side of Polis Now Network. Polis is a network that we, Pastor Yotis, Pastor Alex and Tim and myself, were the founding members, and we promote church planting in Athens. And now we're trying to see the Balkans. So we have a lot of people in Balkans now that they ask for training. And we want to encourage them to plant their own churches. So we use also this material. But I would love to explore this idea that you said about the theology of third millennium.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Other questions or comments or other things you'd like to share with us, George?
I see that Whittington, like, raises his hand. Okay.
The question. What is your favorite kind of dessert?
My favorite kind of dessert, you know, is ice cream. I don't know if you can count this as a dessert. I like the ice cream, and I can say that Greece has a very good ice cream. When you come here, I will make sure that you have your own favorite taste. Okay. So, and you know, like, my kids also will eat with you because they also like the ice cream. you speak about the traditional ice, how do you say it, desserts. Of course, like, there are, yeah, it would be better to taste, because I cannot describe it. It's like traditional sweets. that we make in Greece. Yeah, maybe you can taste it. I cannot. I can send you pictures of the of the Swiss.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you for the. What's your name?
William.
William. Thank you, William. Thank you.
Yeah, Winnington is his mom. That's kind of right. Getting ready to go to school.
George, we had lunch with you years ago. I think I may have even just had one. So he hasn't seen you in a few years. It's good to see you and hear.
Wow. Thank
We're
you so much.
We're good with Jamie and Clay Teague that love you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. And I just thank you so much.
With a sweet pickle. We still remember you. We need to get you some more of those.
Thank you for doing that. We need that. We need your prayers, and we appreciate your love.
Well, that's a good, maybe this is a good time to do that. Just do that, to pray. And, Judy, could I ask, would you start us with prayer and others join in as you would like?
I'll be happy to. Thank you. Father God, we just come into your presence this morning and we just thank you, Father, that you are in control of all things, that you love us, that you care about every detail of our lives, that, you are, watching over us, and that you are calling people to yourself every day. Lord, we I just know how frustrating it must be as we hear all of these wonderful reports this morning, all of the projects that are going on in Greece, and to have to be dealing with COVID. So, Father, we just pray that you would have mercy on us with this COVID, that you would wipe it away, Lord, that you would bring healing. And, Father, that not only here in America, but around the world. And we pray in particular for the restrictions that are going on in Greece, and ask that those be lifted so that George and his team might have closer access to the people they're ministering to in so many different areas. Father, we thank you for the 11 families who are participating in the church ministry in Farsi. And we just ask that you would continue to bless that ministry and move these who are participating into faith, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for this Sunday's ministry as they begin the Gospel of John, and just pray that eyes will be opened and hearts will be soft, and that they will receive the word through the Gospel of John and will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And Father, we just lift up all of these other projects, the Blueprint Project, the Timothy Project, as we think that they're only 10 million who are evangelical Christians in Greece. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit will move across this land, and that George's ministry will be able to reach the goals that they have to plant more and more churches so that the gospel will move forward. Father, we just ask that you be with George and his family, keep them healthy and strong, and just ask you to continue to bless them in every way. And I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank this time, that thank you for this time that we can have with George and just hear about his ministry and, Lord, the impact that they're making there. We just praise you and thank you for that and allowing us to be a part of it. So I, too, pray for all these different ministries, these different projects, just the impact that they're making there in Greece, and really the example they're setting for others to do the same thing. So I pray, too, that you would expand your church through the church planning efforts that go on, through the seminary through all the people involved and the student ministry, the seminary. Lord, just a lot of work. And again, I thank you for the number of people here at Trinity who have been over there and been involved in it. So I just pray that you would bless it, be with George and his family and his part of it, to others. And Lord, you would make a real movement there, Lord. A revival might even start there in Greece. It would spread through the country and even around the world. So again, I just praise you and thank you this time for this time and the opportunity to hear George. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Gracious Father, I thank you for this time with George. And as I said, it's just an encouragement to us to hear his report, to read of it, to read of your hand at work in and through George and his congregation, his elders, in Athens, in Glyphada there. And I pray that you would continue to direct them, that you continue to provide the resources that they need to do the things you've called them to do. Thank you for the Wula House and the people who are there that are learning of the gospel. Some have heard of it to some degree, and yet others not at all. And that through this, as they learn, the relationship with Jesus Christ would be formed and strengthened, and that these people would then become part of the church planting movement that you have established there in so many ways in different neighborhoods. So I pray for this this church, this yet one more church in the series of the Polish planting effort. I pray for the church at Pakrati as it forms and would continue to grow, and the potential of the ministry there with the university students. Lord, there are so many things for the Blueprint Project and the relationships with business people in the immediate vicinity of the church now in Glyphada. And just bless that as well, and that you would use this to evangelize and disciple more people to the gospel, to faithful service. And thank you for George, and I pray that you would bless him and his family. Thank you for them, sustain them, bless the relationship between George and Fedra and their children, and that their marriage would be strong, and that you would be glorified in their relationships and in the family relationships of the church as well. Lord, in all these things, we give you praise, we give you thanks, and pray that each of us would glorify you in this day. It's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen.